All right, let's take our Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to read this same parable that we talked about last week. I'm going to read it out of the Matthew version. There's one in Matthew, there's one in Luke, and there's also one in Mark, which we read last week. So this morning I'm going to read to you out of Matthew's account. And I'm going to start reading in verse 3. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And it says, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it, and some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Father, this morning we just ask that you would give us ears, spiritual ears, to hear what your Spirit says today. Lord, we know that the Spirit is teaching us. He's leading in us and guiding us. The Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God, and passes them along to us. And Lord, we thank you for this. And Father, we pray that you would give our hearts receptive ground to hear the Word of God today. And Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week, we were reading out of the book of Mark. And as you go on and you read down through the book of Mark in this particular chapter, and it says that this particular parable is important to understand if you want to understand the rest of the parables. Because he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So this parable is important for us to understand. And when I'm talking about understanding it, I'm not talking about just reading it or even being able to tell somebody about this parable. Remember what the three grounds were. Remember what happened in the three grounds. I want us to, and God wants us to, understand the meaning of this parable so that when we read other parables about the mustard seed or about the hidden treasure or about all the different things that God told or Jesus told parables about, then we can begin to take what we've learned from this parable to the rest of the parables, and we can understand all of the parables. And that's why he said in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Now, in Matthew chapter 13, and he goes on and he says the same part of this where he says to understand this parable. Over in Matthew, in verse 18, he says, Therefore hear the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom. Now remember, over in Mark, he said, the sower sows the word. So anyone who hears the word. And then in Matthew, he says, and does not understand it. How many have ever talked to somebody who didn't understand the word? Okay, this is the ground we're talking about. Okay, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, that then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. So this is the first ground. The first ground is the ground where the seed was sown, the good seed. We established that last week. The seed, the word of God, is always good seed. The word of God always grows. Always grows. You can have a seed and set it on a shelf, and it'll just sit there for years and years and years. But if you take that seed and you put it in the right environment, you put it in the soil, you water it, it's going to grow. It will grow if you put it in the soil. And so when we have the right kind of seed planted, which is the word of God, now Matthew says, and understand it. And understand it. Then it's going to grow. But if you don't understand it, for example, if you didn't understand the scripture, I'll just turn over and read it. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now Philip says in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Who didn't understand the word of God? Philip. He didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus goes on and says, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Philip really struggled in this area. It wasn't that he didn't know Jesus. He just didn't understand what Jesus was saying. In our parable, they all knew who Jesus was sitting there. But some of them didn't understand it. In fact, if you go to Mark, it says, Mark 4, in verse 11, it says, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are on the outside, all things come in parable. So to you, it has been given to know. God wants us to know. I think we all probably come up against verses and scripture that we just kind of sit back and scratch our head and go, I wonder what that means. But the good thing is he wants us to know. If we go on in that thought, he wants us to know. Over in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will speak and he will tell you things to come. Now, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit that he was going to send when he rose from the dead, rose from the grave. He was going to send the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit was going to teach us. Going to lead us, going to guide us, going to speak to us, and even tell us things that we don't even know yet, that aren't even known yet. He wanted to give them to us. Because if you go on, Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, a lot of people will stop right there and forget to read the rest of it and not understand what the Spirit wants to do. Now, remember, Miss Lisa told us that we need to take these things in context, right? So, the next verse, after it says, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us. To us, to you. God has revealed them to you through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Do you want to understand the deep things of God? Then you need to listen to the Spirit. You need to get in touch with the Spirit of God and listen to what the Spirit has to say, the Spirit to teach you. Because in verse 12, if you drop down to verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us. God, I believe God has given us more than we understand. Now, I know there's some really sharp sticks in here. But I'll tell you what, as sharp as you might think you are, the Spirit of God knows more. That's why I can come up here and I can read these scriptures, I can give my little 2 cents worth, and yet the Holy Spirit can take that and make this beautiful picture. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is teaching you if we will listen. And the Holy Spirit will connect all the dots that need to be connected. You know, when you have a forest full of trees, those root systems are connected underneath. I remember going to work one time. We had a strange wind come through our area up in the Idaho St. Mary's area. And I say it was strange because it came through and broke trees off about 30 feet up in the air. It didn't push them over. It didn't lay them down. It just twisted them off up in the air. But those trees stood strong. Those trees withstood that wind because they were not just down deep in the ground, but that they were connected to each other. They were holding on in the root system. They were holding each other up. You see, now that's what the Word of God does. See, when you're studying the Word of God, good seed. But do you realize that when Jesus was telling the story in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, and he says, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand what was going on. What do you mean, you must be born again? There are connecting scriptures to you must be born again. How do you be born again? That was his question. Nicodemus says, how can an old man be born again? And there's connecting scriptures. Now, the world might come in and say, yeah, but all the roads lead to heaven. No, we read that scripture earlier. John chapter 14 says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You will not get to heaven with any other book than this. you will not get to heaven with the Quran. You will not get to heaven with some of these other books that have been written by so-called spiritual beings. You are not going to get to heaven that way, because the Bible says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That is a connecting scripture to John chapter 3. You could also take it to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that says, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is past. Behold, all things become new. What happens when we become born again? We become new. We become new in Christ. The old man is dead. The new man has been born. We are now new in Christ. You can take that. These are connecting scriptures that hold this all up. That you can take that principle of salvation and go from scripture to scripture to scripture in the Bible. These are connecting scriptures that support what God is saying. That's why Lisa said, when we study the Word of God, we need to take our scripture. We need to look at that scripture, meditate on that scripture, pray, God, show me what you want me to understand out of this scripture, this passage, and then listen to the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit can start bringing scriptures to your mind. He can start bringing scriptures up in your mind that are connecting all this together. He might bring some of the parables up in your mind. He might bring some of the teachings from the Sermon on the Mount. He might bring up some of the Old Testament stories. He might bring up some of the New Testament stories in the book of Acts and Paul's writings. But all of these connect to teach us. They are all important words. And we need all of these words to support us when we are in the midst of a struggle. But we've got to get that word down deep in our heart. We've got to get that word down deep and begin to understand it. Now, as Matthew was saying, that we need to understand the Word of God, because he's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. As he leads us and guides us into this truth, then we send out those root systems in our life. So when the Word of God comes, then we meditate on it. We talked last week about repeating it. We water it by repeating it. We water that word in our heart by repeating it over and over and over. And this works in every area. You find people with crazy ideas, what you might think are crazy. Let me clarify that. Guess what they're listening to? Those ideas. And they keep feeding themselves those ideas. And the more they feed themselves those ideas, the more they're going to think that way. But see, that's why it's important that we take the Word of God and we feed on the Word of God. We need to saturate ourselves. Years ago, I had a guy come and look at our yard because it wasn't looking healthy. It didn't look healthy. And I don't know a whole lot about grass other than I can mow it. All right, well, he got out there and he started slapping it, banging it, pulling on it, just getting mean with it. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? And pretty soon he stands up and he says, you need to water deeper. You need to put more water on it. Well, I'm watering. Yeah, but you're not watering enough. How much do you water? Oh, about this much, and I don't remember what I was doing. He says, you need to put about an inch of water on it a day. I thought, really? Now, if you're sitting there thinking, that's not true, you know what? You may be right. I don't know. I really am not a grass grower. I don't know how much water it takes. I'm just telling you what he told me. So I thought, okay, an inch a day. So I need to water more. So I began to water more. And you know what? Lo and behold, guess what happened? It worked. It worked. Now, you can water shallow in your Bible study. We have on our phones, Lisa and I, and some of you do too, this app, and you can listen to what they call the word of the day. It's a little two minutes. A guy gets on and he reads a verse and he gives us a little story and explains his thoughts on that verse. That's it. Now, if that was all the water I put on my yard, I would have a brown yard. Now, why would we think it's any different in our spiritual walk with God? Many people are satisfied with a two-minute little devotional, or maybe they get a little book and they read might not even take them 2 minutes to read it. And they say, I did my Bible reading today. Yeah, but you didn't study. How many of you ever watered after or during the rain? Because you didn't get enough rain. You're thankful for the rain, but you knew afterwards, I still got to water because there's still dust. You know it didn't soak in. You got rain, you got a little bit, but you didn't get very much. You see, that's a shallow spiritual watering. Now, you may not have time to water deep spiritually every day. You may not have time to drag out the Strong's Concordance or the different versions of the Bible or notebooks and pens and paper and do all this stuff and find up all these connecting scriptures. You may not have time to do all of that, but you need to do it. You need to do it. And some of you have study Bibles that will help you, and it won't take that long. Because if I go over to John chapter 6, how many know what's in John chapter 6? Okay, I'll tell you. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Now, there is more than one account of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I told you our parable today was in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke, what did I say, 6 or 13? Something there. It's in Luke. So there are connecting scriptures that are going to support what you're learning. So in John chapter 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000. It's in Mark chapter 14, Luke chapter 6, or excuse me, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9. You can take all those verses, look them up, and read them. And it might say it just a little bit different. It might just like we read today. Instead of, we need to understand this parable. How will you understand all the parables if you don't understand this parable? Now, in Matthew, it said it a little different. It said that the seed was sown, but they didn't understand it. And because they didn't understand it, the enemy was able to come in and snatch that seed out. The enemy was able to come in and snatch that seed because of our ignorance. I know we might not like to think we're ignorant, but suck it up. There's areas that all of us don't know. We might have a little glimpse. Do you remember Jesus even said this to his disciples? He says, there are many things I would love to tell you, but you can't handle it. But when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will lead you and guide you. He will teach you. You see, even the disciples didn't understand all of it and couldn't. They were so wrapped up in their thinking, the way it should be, He couldn't tell them all the things that He wanted to tell them. I think there's a lot of things that God wants to tell us. God wants to lead us and guide us. But we have gotten so conditioned by our tradition. That almost rhymes. Conditioned by tradition. That we don't understand, we're not willing to hear. We're not willing to hear what God has to say. Or what the Spirit wants to teach us. And so, as we look at this, we need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. Again, I am not a gardener. I can do what Lisa tells me to do. And then I just wonder why sometimes. And I always have to ask her, why are we doing this? Okay? Any other farmers like, or gardeners like me? Round up that. Well, there's a thing that she does. She will soak the seed before she plants the seed. Okay? Well, my question, probably every year, why do we do that? Tell me again why we do that. Well, and she's so patient with me and so kind. She tells me again and what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know what? We need to soak the Word of God, especially the hard seeds, the hard things that are hard to understand, the hard things that go contrary to our tradition. We need to soak it. And you soak it by reading it, meditating on it, asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, to open this up to me. Don't let me get locked into just tradition, but let me lock into the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God teach me the deep things that God has for me. The deep things of God. Because that's where the Spirit of God gets these teachings. Let's see if I can remember how it was said. Paul's teachings are the teachings that Christ left untaught on the earth. Because he said he couldn't teach them because they couldn't understand it. Well, now Paul comes along and teaches things that they're choking on, remember? That can't be right. Tradition says this. And so then they go back and forth and they have all these biblical battles. And so God wants us to know more, but we have to be willing to understand it. I was looking for a book last night on my shelf, and I found a different book. And the title of this book was, I Never Learned to Doubt. You know what? If you never learn to doubt, how much better off would you be? But many of us have learned to doubt really good instead of just believing the Word of God. Believing the Word of God. And so we need to saturate the Word. We need to water deep. Let that root go down deep in the soil of our heart. So that when the storms come, and it said that the storm would come, first ground, go back, review. First ground was hard. They didn't understand the Word of God, so the enemy came and snatched that word. The second ground, they received it with gladness. They were all excited in church on Sunday morning. And then all of a sudden when they got out and they told somebody else and they criticized them for the Word of God, the persecution and trials came because of the Word. it shriveled up because it didn't have any root. The root had not gone down deep. The root had not yet established connecting verses to help you understand the Word of God. And so the Word quickly fell away and died because it had no root. What we need to do in our daily study, our daily reading, our daily time with God is let the Word go down deep. Let it go down deep. Repeat it. Maybe you have to go back and read John chapter 3 again. Romans chapter 10. Go back and read all these different verses on salvation. Go up and read 1 John. Read about God's love for you. Read about God's passion for you. Read about how much He cares for you. Read about who you are in Christ. Read about what He's done because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to refresh. We need to repeat. We need to go over this over and over and over in our heart. And then meditate on it. Bring all these connecting verses together. Bring all these connecting verses. Okay, it says this over here and it says this over here. And you know what? Sometimes it's going to seem like it's contradictory. How many have ran into those scriptures? That doesn't make sense. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit knows why. He knows why there's tension there between those two verses. And He wants to teach us. He wants to explain that to us. So take time not only to read the Word, but to meditate on the Word. And you know what? You can do that all day long. You don't have to just be sitting in your chair with the Bible in your lap to meditate. Somebody said it like this. The same part of your brain that you meditate with is the same part of your brain you worry with. How many have worried all day long? You know, some of us, that comes so natural to worry. What are we going to do about the bills this month? And we think about it all day long. See, that same part of your brain that's doing all of that is the same part of your brain that you can meditate and think about the good things of God. But we have to discipline our brain. We have to discipline our mind to think the way God wants us to think. That's part of that whole renewing thing that God wants us to do. Romans chapter 12. Lots of verses connecting those things and supporting all of that renewal of the mind. But you got to dig in and find out where they are, what's going on, God, how do I do this? It's a process. It's time. I know that we get in such a hurry and we live in such a hurried lifestyle that we don't always understand this whole time. Why do I have to wait? Why can't God just do it? God could do it. He really could. But He wants us to take time with Him. Because when you steal a child's struggle to learn, you steal the lesson. When you take that struggle away and just give it to them freely, then they never really figure it out because you just gave it to them. They never figure out the value of that lesson if you just keep handing it to them. And that's why it's important for us to get into the Word of God and not struggle with the Holy Spirit, not struggle with the Word, but take the time to let the Holy Spirit teach us. And yes, there might be a little uncomfortable. I don't know if this is right or not. Spend time with Him. He knows what we need. Spend time with Him to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Lisa said that we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, define what we're looking for, read the context of what we're looking for, memorize it, and even get somebody to study with. There's so many times that we sit down after we get our morning coffee and we say, okay, what did you read today? What'd you get out of it? What does this mean? What do you think about this? And we just ask each other questions. We need to do that. We need to take time to study the Word of God. Let that water of the Word of God go down deep in our hearts so that it will begin to grow. And don't get impatient when you don't see anything on top of the surface. Don't get impatient and try to dig that up and start talking another way. Just let the Word grow. And you know what? It's going to produce. It's going to produce. Because seeds grow. God said they would. So they will. God, in the book of Genesis, created things to reproduce after their kind. Why do you think God put a seed in a pine cone? He's not creating new trees every day. He's not creating new apple trees. He's not creating all these new things again. He made them to be created after their own kind by seed. And the word for the believer is the seed. Jesus told us a parable. Some of you might just think it's a fun little song to sing as a kid. And it was, the wise man built his house upon the rock. How did he do that? Well, he had to find the rock first, so he had to dig down to where the rock was at. And then the other half is, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And we know the song, we know the story. When the storms, the winds and the waves began to beat against the house on the rock stood firm. And the house on the sand, your favorite part, went splat. Why? Because it didn't have a root system down deep to the rock. You see, that parable connects to Mark chapter 4. Because you've got to get a root system. And you get that in the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you. You know what? It might not feel like you're doing anything this week. But take the time to just meditate on the Word of God. Once you read, I have this habit of just reading and reading and reading. Or listen, because I listen to the Bible a lot. And so I listen, and I like that story. Now I want to go to the next one, and I want to go to the next one, and I want to. And so I just listen and listen and listen. But I need to just stop and meditate. I need to just stop and meditate on, what did that say? What is the Word of God saying right there? I was thinking about this on the way over back from Odessa this morning. There's a story about, in the Old Testament, Elisha. Remember? Elisha was just waking up in the morning, and his servant came in and said, we're in for it. There's thousands of people around us. We're going to die. Now, you remember what Elisha's response was? There are more for us than they are against us, right? Did Elisha ever see him? Or did he just know it? See, the Bible doesn't say. Now, it says that his servant went out and saw him. But it doesn't say that Elisha saw him. He just knew. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't have to see the greater one to know that the one inside of me is greater than the enemy. You see, as we meditate on the Word of God, God can bring these things to us and show us and teach us. If we're willing to listen and think, Well, maybe he didn't, and he just took it by faith. The same way I have to take this by faith, that the greater one is in me. And the greater one is in you. And when the Spirit of God is living in you, he wants to lead you and guide you into all truth. Do you believe it? All right, let's do it this week. Take time to meditate on the Word of God. Let it go down deep. Do what we're supposed to do. Do our steps of studying the Word of God, praying over the Word of God, defining the Word of God, connecting scriptures. Get all that stuff and then sit down and all that information and just begin to meditate. God, show me what all this is about. Show me how this connects to my life. Amen?